This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. Na, 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 na. You know, that song is going to be in your head all week long. It's a good song. Didn't they do a great job, these guys, huh? Man. You know, if you're new to The Orchard, or if you've been here maybe just a short time, one of the things I think you've probably figured out by now is that The Orchard is a very unique and diverse church community, isn't it? And I just love that, man. It's one of the things I love the most about The Orchard is we're so different. You know, I mean, you've got ethnic diversity, you've got age diversity, diversity of where people are at in their spiritual journey. And I think this is how a church should be, don't you? I mean, I love it, diverse. But you know, at the same time, as different and as unique as each of us are, there are some things in life that we all hold in common, regardless of age or ethnicity or political preference or where you might even be at in your spiritual journey. And one of those things is what you've heard me say over and over again throughout this series is that every single one of us are becoming, aren't we? All of us are becoming something. And as we've been learning these past several weeks, because he created us and because he passionately loves us, God has always been very interested in the kind of people that we're becoming. God has always been very concerned about that and cares very much about who it is and what we are becoming, which is a great thing, isn't it? Great thing. Yet at the same time, you know, when you and I start looking at our lives and when you and I hit that pause button now and then and we start asking questions, because we know questions are dangerous, aren't they, sometimes? And if we start asking questions like, for example, what kind of person am I becoming in my life? I tell you what, you know what you almost always discover when you start asking questions like that? A gap. That's right, you discover a gap. And if you've been with us throughout this series, you know the gap that I'm talking about is not the store in the mall where you buy jeans and khakis. No, no, no. The gap that I'm talking about is the distance between the person that I currently am and the person that God created me to be. There is oftentimes a gap. And so each week throughout the series, we've been exploring and learning and experiencing what's known as spiritual practices in our lives. Spiritual practices. Now, these practices are not anything new. They weren't invented 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, these are practices that have been a part of faith traditions for literally thousands of years. Practices such as scripture meditation, silence, solitude, daily prayer rhythms. And my hope is that you've been taking these and making these a part of your life, of your experience. Because I'll tell you, the reason they're so important is because these are some of the ways that you and I can cooperate with what God is doing in our life. And I know sometimes there are seasons in our life when it feels like God is so far, when it feels like maybe God is not at work. But let me tell you something, regardless of what you feel, God is at work in your life, and you need to know that. I mean, that's proven by the fact that you are sitting here today or that you are listening to this online. It proves God is at work in you. You're not here by accident. And so it's through these spiritual practices that you and I cooperate with what God's up to inside of us. So this weekend, we're going to continue. I'm going to talk about a different spiritual practice. And it's one that that this church community that you all know very well, you're very familiar with, because it's one of the things that I brag about the most when I talk to people about all of you, and that is the spiritual practice of generosity. Generosity. Would you say that word after me? Ready? Here we go. Generosity. Yeah, that was good. You know what's funny about that? Isn't it funny how it's almost impossible to say that word without smiling? Do you notice that? I mean, seriously, try to say it without smiling. Ready? Let's try it. All right? I know you want to. Ready? Say generosity. Don't smile. Here we go. Ready? No, stop it. Don't smile. Here we go. Ready? Generosity. See, it does not jive well to say it that way. I mean, it's hard to say it without smiling. It takes effort because, see, generosity is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We all love being around people who are generous, don't we? Of course, we're just drawn. It's like there's something magnetic about people who are generous. And it's why there's something inside every one of us, I think, that is drawn and desires to be generous. I mean, I think there's very few of us that would say, no, you know, I'm not really into that. I'm more into the greed thing. Some of you are like, you haven't met my husband. No, but I mean, I think there's something in all of us, and I think there's all kinds of reasons for that. I mean, for one, I think we're just pretty good people, right? And we also know that there's great joy in being generous. I mean, whether you are consider yourself spiritual or not, there's something in you that feels joyful when you are able to be generous towards someone else. Yet, I can't help but wonder if part of the reason we have this drawing, that we have this, that something inside of us resonates when it comes to generosity, is because you and I were created in the image and likeness of an extremely generous God. That's right. You and I were created in the image of an extremely generous God. I mean, think about it. God is the epitome of generosity, isn't he? I mean, think about creation. The Bible begins with a liturgy of abundance. Genesis 1 is a song of praise for God's generosity. It's how well the world was ordered. And over again, it says the same thing. It is good. It is good. It is good. It is very good. We're even told in places like Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11 says this. The merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, for his deeds return to bless him. Again, if you keep reading on down in verse 24, the world of the generous gets what? What does it say? Larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And isn't that true? I mean, if you know people who are generous, you know that about them. Now, on the other hand, if you know people who are stingy, you know there's something about they have a very small outlook on life. They're a very small world that they exist in. So, God shows us generosity. And all over the scriptures, we find all these great reasons why we should be generous and the importance of generosity. And then, on top of it all, when you begin to read in the New Testament, you begin to see things like this. Like the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, watch what God does and then do it. Let me see, maybe we should try to interpret that and make it more plain. Watch what God does and then do it. And then if you keep reading verse 2, it says, his love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. That is God's heartbeat. Love and generosity. And it's like this rhythm that you really begin to feel as you read throughout the scriptures. Love and generosity. Love and generosity. And then Paul says, now, you do it. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Which sounds good, but let's face it, none of us will ever be able to match God's extravagant generosity, will we? No, I mean, there's just no way. But what we can do is to make sure that we are constantly moving further and further and further in the direction of God's generosity. I mean, what direction are you going? Are you going towards God's generosity? Or are you going the other way? Or have you just kind of found yourself standing still? I think it's huge because I think while there's probably none of us who would say that we're on the extreme opposite end of the spectrum and that we're just greedy people, I have to wonder how many of us would say that we are as far down on this end of the spectrum as we would like to be. I mean, I think the bottom line is probably most of us, no matter how generous we may or may not be, recognize there's certainly room to grow in generosity, isn't there? I mean, we can all do better when it comes to being generous people. I know that's the case in my life. I'm sure most of you would say the same thing about your life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, generosity, the spiritual practice of generosity, which if you think about it, has to do with three very important areas of our lives. In fact, if you're taking notes, take your service guide out. I want you to write these things down. Three things, three words I want to give you. Three areas of our lives that God desires that we grow in our generosity. And they are these right here. Ready? Our time, our talent, and our treasure. Would you say those three with me? Ready? Our time, our talent, and our treasure. three areas that God wants to help us grow in as we follow him: our time, our talent, and our treasure. And can you guess which one of those is talked about the most in the scriptures? Treasure. That's right, treasure, which is really not a big surprise to any of us, because, I mean, if you think about it, our treasure, our money, our stuff, our cha-ching, whatever you might want to call it, our bling-bling, whatever, okay? I'm telling you, listen, whatever you want to call it, it's an area of our lives that so many of us are challenged with, isn't it? Which is probably why the scriptures actually say more about our money and our use of money than it does about the subjects of heaven, hell, and salvation combined. Isn't that crazy? And so anyways, we talk about generosity. I want to talk about it not only as it pertains to areas of our time and our talent, but I want to spend the bulk of our time today talking about how generosity impacts us in this third area known as our treasure. And how it is that we can make sure that we are constantly moving that direction of God's extreme generosity. Because listen, imagine being able to look back a year from now and say, you know what? I can honestly say that I am more generous today in my life than I was 12 months ago. Man, I don't know what's happened, but I'm finding myself wanting to be more generous towards people. When I see a need, someone in my neighborhood, when I see a need, someone at my work, my job, there's something inside of me that thinks twice before I just walk away. I'll tell you, that's what God desires for us, that we are constantly moving down that direction of God's generosity, that we are constantly becoming more and more like him. So the question is, I guess, how do we do it? I mean, how do we live this out in our lives? Well, I mean, going back to the very beginning of time, for God's people, generosity has always been rooted and in a couple of very simple and basic understandings as it pertains to our lives. In fact, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a couple more things to write down. But one of the things that you'll discover as you look back through the ancient scriptures is that at the core of generosity is the very simple and basic understanding that says everything belongs to God. Over and over again, everything. In fact, we see it all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 10, fifth book of the Torah, when Moses declares to his people, he says these words, everything. What does that include? Everything. Everything you see is God's, the heavens above and beyond the earth, and everything on it. And it's this belief that everything belongs to God that has always been found at the core of true godly generosity. And so the first phrase that I want you to write down if you're taking notes is this. Very simple. God owns it. God owns it. Say that with me. Ready? God owns it. Owns what? It. What's it? It is everything. It is whatever you're looking at, whatever you're experiencing. God owns it. Everything belongs to God. And one of the most basic and fundamental ways that God's people have always acknowledged this truth is through what's known as the tithe. The tithe, T-I-T-H-E, tithe. I know some of you are thinking, oh, great, he's talking about tithing today. We're going to begin a 19-week series on tithing. And we're just going to keep going until every one of you are tithing. And we've even locked the doors this morning. No, I'm kidding. It's been done. I've seen it. Now, the word tithe, it comes from the Hebrew word, or comes from a Hebrew word, I should say, that means a tenth. And if you go all the way back to the Old Testament, you'll find that the tithe has always been a very systematic way of remembering and proclaiming this belief that says everything in my life belongs to God. And so in a way, it's like the challenge that God has always given his people is basically, okay, all right, do you really believe that everything is mine? I mean, think about Adam and Eve going all the way back to the very beginning. God says, everything is mine, but do not touch that one tree over there. That is your way of acknowledging that everything here is mine. You are managers, you are stewards. And so God says, okay, do you really believe everything is mine? Well, here's what I want you to do. God says, I want you to give back to me the first part, not the leftovers, the first part, the first 10% of every blessing that I bring into your life. And God says, look, by doing that, By being faithful, by stepping out in faith, you are proclaiming to me that you understand that everything in life belongs to me, that it's mine. And see, that's exactly what you and I are saying. Every time we give, that's why we believe giving is an act of worship. You know, we say giving back to God. I mean, we are giving back to God what he has already given us. We're not giving God anything new. This is stuff he's already given us. We are giving back to him, and it is an act of worship. That we're declaring, God, thank you for blessing me. God, I recognize that it all belongs to you, and so I give my tithe as an act of worship. That right there is the starting point for a generous life. Oh, wait, hold on, Scott. You say there's a starting point for a generous life? Well, let me show you how God says it, okay? Let me show you. Let's go to Malachi. In fact, he even goes beyond that. And here's how he puts it in Malachi chapter 3, the Old Testament book of Malachi. Listen to this. God says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. I don't ever want to hear that from God. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now, I know that is a hard-to-swallow scripture. I mean, if we were going to do personalized versions of the Bible, this is one we would definitely leave out. Because we don't like this one, right? I mean, God, but look what God is saying. He's basically saying, look, when you hold back that recognition that everything in your life belongs to me, guess what? You are living like it's yours. And the problem with that is, it's not. And so when you live like it's yours, guess what? You are robbing me. And then he goes on to say this. Look at verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now in the Old Testament, the storehouse was the temple, the tabernacle. Today it's the local house of worship. It's where you call your home church. That's why if this is not your home church, you don't tithe to us. You tithe to your home church. If you're visiting here, you can give above that, but your tithe belongs to the church you're a part of. That's where it goes. And so anyway, so God instructs us as his followers. He says, okay, we're to give back that first 10% in recognition that everything we have in life belongs to him. And then like, if that's not motivation enough, the fact that God would actually say to you, you are robbing me. Then he goes on to say this. He says, Malachi 3:10, test me in this, God says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You see the beginning of that verse? He says, test me. Test me. You know what? Interesting. It's the only place in the scriptures that God says to test him. In fact, in other places, we're actually told, don't you dare test God. But then when it comes to the issue of our money, God says, test me. Prove me. Try me out. In other words, you don't believe God exists? Tithe. And he will prove to you that he does. Can I tell you something? You know, this whole concept of tithing is not just some nice-sounding concept that I stand up here today and share with you. No, listen, I can stand up here today and I can tell you this, that I have personally seen what happens when you put God first in the area of your finances. You know, it's funny because for a lot of us, we tend to surrender a lot of areas of our life over to God, but we wait until the financial thing is like the hardest part, isn't it? But there's such freedom in it. And I'll tell you, not only have I seen it, but I've seen it in multiple generations. I mean, I'm so thankful that my mom made me tithe on that dollar when I was a kid, and I would cry. And I would say, no, I don't want to give it. And she would say, no, you need to. This is God's, you know, this is how you. And so I've seen it all my life in my family. I've seen it in my grandparents. I've seen it in my parents' lives. And now, like so many of you, I'm seeing it firsthand in my own life. And you know what my wife Amanda and I have discovered is that as we've taken that step of faith in our lives to tithe, and let me tell you something, it really is a step of faith sometimes. I mean, when you hit that financial wall in your life and you are wondering how you're gonna take care of certain things in your life, car dies, you know what I'm talking about, things like that. I mean, what we've discovered though, that as we have been faithful in taking that step of faith now for many, many years, as we've done that in our lives, we've discovered that we're actually able to somehow do more on that 90% that is blessed by God than we're able to with that 100% that God says, if you hold it back and you treat it as your own, it's going to be cursed. And so this journey of generosity, it begins by recognizing that everything in life belongs to God. And the way that his followers have acknowledged that since the very beginning was through this concept known as the tithe. So if you haven't written that down yet, write that phrase. God owns it. How much does he own? That was beautiful. Everything, all of it, which means, listen, since God owns it all, not just the 10%, since he owns it all, you know what that means? It matters to God how I handle the other 90%. That's right. It's not like, okay, I'm going to give my 10th and I don't have to care about the 90%. No, listen. So the next thing I want you to write down right below where it says God owns it is this phrase right here. I manage it. I manage it. Now we're talking about generosity. We're talking about where generosity begins in our lives. God owns it and I manage it, which means that he really does care how I spend and invest and use his money. God cares. And see, here's what begins to happen on this journey of generosity. Listen, as you and I begin this journey, and as you and I become more and more like Christ in our lives, we can't help but to become more and more generous. I mean, if you think about it, it's going to be awfully hard to follow and grow in the ways of Jesus and not be growing in love and generosity and faith. Because again, listen, we're talking about following Jesus. We're not talking about just believing in Jesus. A lot of us can confess that we believe in Jesus, but how many of us are actually living like Jesus, following in the ways of Jesus? That is what God desires. And you can't help but to grow in your love and in your faith and in your generosity as you grow in your relationship with Christ. And so that's exactly what happens. This spiritual practice of generosity eventually becomes a way of life for you. I mean, suddenly it begins to change how you see things around you, even things like the tithe. Because what happens eventually is you begin to realize that the tithe, this giving back to God of 10%, this is just the starting point. You realize it's not the ultimate goal to get to 10%. This is the starting point. We come to realize, man, this is where we start. Because as you begin to live and grow in this life of generosity, I mean, suddenly it begins to impact how you see so many other things in your life. And before you know it, man, you begin to recognize that you are a manager of God's resources in your life. And the desire to give and give and give and give goes way up beyond just that 10%. And I'm telling you, that is where true blessing is found. When you begin to live this life of generosity that goes way beyond that 10%. Hey, that's a great starting point, and that's a huge step for so many people. But it's not the end. It's where God wants us to start. And soon what happens is you begin to look for ways to bless people. You suddenly begin to reach out and care for the poor in the community. You suddenly begin to see a need, and instead of walking by and going, God bless you, good luck, you start to think, maybe I'm supposed to meet that need. And you find that generosity spills over in your time and in your talent. I mean, listen, do you realize what God's been able to do these last 12 months here at the Orchard because of your generosity? I mean, in these past 12 months alone, I'm telling you, you guys have stepped up to the plate when it comes to generosity. And because of that, we've been able to give over $50,000 away to everything from building clean water wells in Africa to feeding the hungry and providing care for people right here in our own community. We've partnered with missions all over the world, orphanages in Africa, rescuing sex trade workers in Thailand. I mean, we've sent mission teams to places like Uganda, El Salvador, places right here in America. I mean, the sacrifices on the people who've gone out on these teams has been amazing. And you know why all that's happened? It's very simple. Because of your generosity. That's it. I mean, the church is not subsidized. Do you realize that? We don't receive like a government grant. Somebody asked me that one time. Do you guys like get funding from the government? I'm like, no. Are you kidding me? Funding from the government? How about do you have like a local headquarters of a denomination? No, they don't give us anything. Anyway, that doesn't even include what we've been able to do right here. I mean, when you walked in here today, and see, sometimes we get used to this, but when you walk in here today and you see the lights, don't they look great? You see the screens and you see the video projectors and the computers that are running all of our video, all that stuff. Guess what? Can I tell you something? A lot of you know this already, but we paid for all that in cash. Why? Well, because this is a church community that gets it. That gets it. I mean, you get it. Okay, let me tell you something. If you're new here to the Orchard, okay, one of the things you're going to figure out real quick is that the people who call the Orchard their church home are unbelievably generous. I mean, we've got food pantries in Aurora that will say, if you're not going to be able to help us out, let us know, because when the Orchard isn't able to help us out, we got to go to like 15 churches to make up for what one church does. Because you're generous. And that's why people who walk in here, man, I tell you what, if some stingy person walks in here, they're either going to get really inspired and become and grow in generosity, or they're going to walk out as quickly as they walk in. Because when you're stingy, you don't like to be around generous people. It's uncomfortable. I'm telling you, it amazes me how generous you all are. And not just with your treasure, but with your time, your talent. We could go on and on. I mean, it really is a beautiful thing. And I'm telling you, the reason God's doing what he's doing here, whether it's how he's using us to impact people around the world, whether he's using us to impact other pastors and churches across America, or it's right here in our own church community. Listen, the reason God is doing it is because this is a church community full of people that truly believe that the best investments that a person can make are the ones that impact eternity. A lot of places you can put your money. Man, you all get the fact that there's no greater place to invest than in eternity. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Let me show you one more scripture, Matthew 6:19. Jesus said this. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Listen to this line right here. This is heavy. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, so Jesus says here, he says, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. You know why Jesus said that? He said that because it's not just because wealth might be lost. It's because wealth at some point will always be lost. Always, at some point. I mean, because it either leaves us while we live or we leave it when we die. I mean, no exceptions. None of it goes with us when we die. None of it. And so ultimately what Jesus is saying here is, look, the best investment is investing in the one thing that can go with you into eternity. And you know what that is? That is people. Lives. And then he closes with this one line that is just a smackaroo. He says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Oh, that's heavy. I mean, he says, look, are you ready for this? He says, look, your heart follows your money. Your heart follows your money. In other words, you cannot separate the two. Your heart will always follow your money. So I want you to write that down. The third thing, my heart follows it. All right? So when it comes to our treasure, God owns it, I manage it, and my heart follows it. And we all know that, don't we? We know your hearts follow our money. I mean, if you want to know what someone's passionate about, look in their checkbook. Look at their credit card statement. See where they're spending their money. You'll find out right away what someone's passionate about. And so while that's a very convicting thought, let me tell you, it's also very liberating, because here's the thing. Listen, what that means is that as we become more and more generous, we are also going to become more and more like Christ. And that is ultimately what becoming is all about. Narrowing that gap between the person I am today and the person that God created me to be. Now let me ask you, where are you at in that journey of generosity? Now for some of you, let me rephrase that. Because if church statistics are true, we're told that only about 20% of the people in a church actually tithe. And so what that means is that for most of you, perhaps your next step is to accept God's challenge. Because remember what he said? He said, "Test me in this. Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have room enough to receive it." No thanks, I don't want that. Are you willing to take God up on the test? See, here's what I know, okay? Most people who don't tithe, it's not because they're stingy. It's not because they don't believe in the work of God that's happening in the local church. The reason that most people don't tithe in many cases is because they're afraid to. It's a big step. And believe me, I understand. And so do all the other people in this room who've taken that step in their life. And not only that, but let me be honest with you. There's probably no worse weekend in the world that I could be talking about tithing. I mean, look, one of the worst economic seasons And Scott, somebody asked me, what are you going to teach on this weekend? I said, tithing. They go, that's crazy. Which means that there's no better time to start than now. Because I don't know about you, but if there was ever a time that I want and need God's blessings in my finances, it is right now. Right now. Because listen, I do not want to live life as though what happens around me dictates my security. No, listen, I want to rely and trust that no matter what happens, no matter what happens around me, that God is my source. He is my source. He is my provider. That's how I want to live my life. And so as your pastor, I want to challenge you today to take God up on his offer to test him. And I want to challenge you, listen, I'm going to get specific here. I'm going to challenge you to try it for 3 months. From now until the end of the year, for 3 months. And here's the deal. I know it's a big step of faith for many of you. So here's what we're willing to do. If at the end of 3 months you decide that you've made a mistake or you believe that this was not what you should have done in your life, here's what we'll do. We will refund every dime that you gave the Orchard during those 3 months, every dime of it. No questions asked. And this is not a gimmick. This is not a fundraising effort. We're not going down. And so we're asking everyone to start tithing. Not going to go climb in my prayer tower. Anyway. No, listen, we're doing this, listen, because we believe that a huge part of our mission of leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is about helping you take steps of faith in your life. When we talk about marriage, we challenge you to step out in faith. When we teach on prayer rhythms, remember what we did, we challenge you to step out and experience it. When we challenge you in these areas, we challenge you to step out in your life. And yet we know that it's not always easy, especially when it comes to the area of our finances, our treasure. And yet, I am so confident that if you'll take that step in your life, I am so confident that you'll be so glad you did, that we're even willing to take that huge risk, that at the end of those 3 months, by the end of the year, if you're not convinced that this was a great decision, all you have to do is let us know. Email us, call us, and we will refund every dime you gave the church during those 3 months. Now, this is not the first time we've done this. In fact, some of you might remember a few months ago, we did this, and I got to tell you, the response was awesome. Now, sometimes you hear stories like, I started tithing and next week a bucket of gold showed up in my life. Let me just say a couple things. This is not a formula, okay? We're not going to go TBN on you, okay? This is, if you don't know what TBN is, bless you. What was I saying? Oh, it's not a formula. This is not about give and God's going to bless you. You don't know how God might bless you. It might be financially. It might be in some other area of your life. But I do know this. God promises he will bless your life. It may not happen immediately. I mean, I think sometimes we live life how we want to for like 10, 15 years, and then we decide to tithe, and we get frustrated because things don't turn around in 3 months. No, listen. Faithfulness is the key, and God blesses it. In fact, I want you to meet a young couple in our church who took that same step of faith as many of you are going to get ready to take in your life. And I want to tell you, like so many others, they've looked back and they've said, you know what, we are so thankful that we've taken that step of faith to put God to the test. So watch this. I want you to meet these guys.
Hi, we're Sean and Wendy Hagee. We've been married for 2 years. We started coming to the Orchard about a year and a half ago.
Last spring, Scott issued a tithing challenge to the congregation, which was the step of faith to begin tithing and give that 10% out of your income straight to God. And they said that if it was not a blessing to you, because in the Bible God talks about, test me and you will see that these floodgates will open of blessing when you start tithing. And if it was not a blessing, the church offered to refund the money, which is not typical for a church to do. So we decided we needed to take that step of faith. So after being married a year and a half, we are confronted with something different, having to be adults and pay bills and figure out our finances. And we've both been taught how to save for the future and retirement and that kind of stuff. So we have all these things running through our head, and our theory up to that point was kind of, you know, if I worked a little bit more that month and we had something left over, then that's what God wants us to give, because we have that money then. We've been proclaiming to live for God for all of these years, and we're a Christian couple, and here we are trying to live for God, yet for finances, we're going to wait till the end and give what's left over, and that just felt like this isn't how it's supposed to be, and I've known that for years and just kind of moved with it, and now to be challenged with that was, you need to put this first. This has to be your priority to give to God first and give to Him in your finances, and that is the step of, we really are surrendering our life to God, knowing that it's His money anyway, and I need to give that to Him.
Never heard a church do anything like that before, and I thought, let's try it. Let's see what's going to happen. I've always wanted to do this. Let's actually do it now.
When we first started the tithing challenge, I personally was nervous about it, but I knew that we had to take that step of faith and trust that the money would be there that we needed to pay the bills, because that particular month of the challenge, of course, was very tight. I was a little worried about having that money there. But since then, it's been amazing to see what God has done for us, that as a freelancer, I have gotten more work than I need, and the summer is normally very slow for interpreters, and I was so busy, and I miraculously, because of His will, passed my national certification test, which means my work doubled, my pay doubled, and so many doors have just been opened for us to be able to have the money not just to tithe, but to give in other areas when our family members or people in our small group have gone on missions trips, just to be able to not just tithe, 10% check, but to give generously as Jesus calls for us to do. Every time we write that check and put it in the basket, it feels like, God, we know this is from You, and we want to give this back to You so You can use it however You've guided the orchard to see fit to bring Your kingdom here on earth. I would encourage anyone who's thinking of starting to tithe to really just to take that jump. God promises to provide for you. He promises to bless you. And if you are saying you cannot tithe, it's almost like saying you don't believe the promises that God has promised for you for your life. And I would definitely encourage you to start the tithing, because it's so freeing to know that the money He's given you, you are using to glorify Him.
What a great story, huh? It's always it's always great just to hear how, you know, you can hear me say some things here, but for you to hear it from people like this, just being able to share how God has impacted them, and especially when it comes to this tithing challenge, how God and how that really empowered them to take a step forward. She said something to me interesting. She said, if You would not have boldly challenged us to do it, we wouldn't have done it. And so when I see this, I say, you know what? Money's always a hard one to talk about, but I believe in what I'm saying here. I smoke what I'm selling. You know what I'm saying? our welcome teams, I've asked them to hand out a card right now that explains how the tithing challenge works, because I know a lot of you are interested in knowing more, so they're going to hand that out to you guys. And can I just tell you something? Listen, as they hand those out, just listen. I'm convinced that God is looking for people that He can bless and provide abundantly for, because they understand that when they receive these blessings, they're not just about being able to have a nicer lifestyle or an upgraded whatever, which is nothing wrong with those things, but they also understand that in an even greater way, they understand that all of it belongs to God. Go ahead, guys, hand those out. And that we are managers of His resources, and that our hearts always follow our money. And so as the welcome teams hand these cards out, we are going to prepare, and we're going to give back to God. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, Scott, boy, that's kind of gutsy. You're going to take an offering after teaching about money? What are you, crazy? You know how that might look? Listen, let me just say something real clear. If you're sitting here and you're suspicious about anything I've said, don't give today, okay? Because you may not have been around here long enough to really know us and trust us. I'm talking to people who've either made this their home church or are you know, maybe new and they're thinking about it. But if you find yourself sitting back and going, I don't know, this seems kind of fishy. Hey, you know what? It's okay. Don't give today, because you need to be able to give with confidence. You need to be able to give with a glad and a cheerful heart, is what the scriptures tell us. And so before we do that, though, would you just take a moment right where you're seated? Would you just ask God, God, what is my next step as I engage in the spiritual practice of generosity? Would you just take a moment? Would you close your eyes right where you're seated? Would you just ask that question to God? God, what is my next step? Now, for some of you, that next step might be taking that step of faith into tithing. And you're sitting here right now, and you're scared to death, but you know God's talking to you about doing it. And so let me just say, as you're thinking about this, if God is speaking to your heart, obey him. Step out in faith. All you need to do, there's that card you got, just fill that out. You can turn it in either right now when the giving bags go by you, or you can take the cards and go home, talk to your spouse. I don't want your spouse to call me angry that you started tithing without them knowing, okay? So don't do that. But you take those cards, and you can also bring them back next weekend. So do one of two things. Fill it out. Put it in now. Some of you need to do that. Some of you know if you walk out of here, you're going to just put it off and put it off, put it off. Now is the time. If you're not ready to do today, that's all right. Take it home, pray. But I would encourage you to make that decision and watch what God does. Now, maybe some of you, you already do tithe and you've been following Christ and this has been a part of your life. Maybe your next step is to begin thinking about how you can go above and beyond the tithe and you can start engaging in giving beyond that. Whether it's engaging in generosity here at the Orchard or in other areas in our community or special projects or other opportunities. And then maybe there's some of you and God's really doing something in your heart right now as it pertains to even giving sacrificially. We had a guy last week come in our church and donated some very personal and valuable items of his that I know was a huge sacrifice, and he just said, I really believe God wants me to do this. And so, you know, a lot of times that is the next step for many people. Maybe you've been tithing, you've been giving above that. Maybe for you, God said, I'm ready to take you to a new level of generosity, and that's what's called sacrificial giving. And in other words, making a decision, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to upgrade this, or maybe we don't have to buy that larger home. Maybe we can stay here, or maybe as we get increases at our job, instead of upping our lifestyle like we all tend to do, maybe the solution is let's just stop right here. And whatever comes in above that, we're going to use that to be entrepreneurial, to start up some things that will benefit God's kingdom. Maybe it's about something, you know, you get the idea. But listen to me. Imagine with me, okay, in the days and the weeks and months ahead, being able to approach all of this economic uncertainty that's going on in our world, not from a standpoint of fear or concern about your needs being met, but instead with peace and hope that you have in your life because you have chosen to keep God first, knowing that he is your source. Listen, God does not need your money, okay? God does not need a $700 billion bailout, okay? But what he does need, what he does want, is your heart. Will you give it to him? Let's pray this morning. Just take a moment, would you? Right where you're seated, just between you and God. Think about this for a minute. What's your next step? What is my next step in this journey of generosity? Maybe for some of you, maybe you feel stuck in this whole generosity thing, and perhaps it's because you've never experienced God's generosity in your life firsthand, or maybe you haven't yet acknowledged it. You know, the scriptures tell us that God is such an extravagant, generous God. He pours out his love to you in unconditional ways. In other words, there's nothing you can do to deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it or to be good enough for it. God gives us his love unconditionally. Maybe today your next step is saying, you know what, I need to receive that unconditional love in my heart. And if that is where you're at today, I just want to encourage you, take a moment right now and just between you and God, say, God, you know what, I don't quite understand it all. I still have some questions, some doubts. I'm not sure. But I do need to receive your love in my life. And so today I reach out to you and I ask you to make your love real to me. I receive it today. I want to make a decision to follow in the ways of Jesus. So God, thank you that you're at work in our hearts today. Because of that, we can look to you. We can declare that everything is yours. God, we can declare that you've called us to be managers because our hearts, we know, our hearts follow our money. God, help us with these things because these are things that will change our life in huge ways. Thank you, God, for making us generous people. Thank you for making us a generous church. God, may we take another step forward as we declare that you are our source. We will not be afraid. We will trust in you. Now, God, as we give back to you, make our hearts yours. And yours alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.